Welcome back to Advanced Biblical Foundations. This is our series on parenting in the 21st century. This is session number 3. Previously, what I've talked about is that everything that we do is really discipleship. We can talk about parenting, we can talk about all these things that we should do, but really it's all about discipleship. When you take it as a big picture, you understand that God is working in us to change us so that we can be effectively changing our children so we can be effective in affecting the world we live in. That's really what God's wanting. It's not going out and doing some major big thing for God. It's about being conformed to His image. The more that I look like Christ, the more that people around me can see Christ in me. And that's only going to happen as I choose to be a disciple of Christ. You can't make someone be a disciple of Christ. But the truth is that everything we're talking about in parenting is discipleship. And so we're going to continue talking about that. And let me start with, in this session, where the problems, where they come from. All problems, and we'll make some bold statements here, come from Genesis 3 and the fall in the garden. The results of the fall, we all know the story. Adam and Eve were put into the garden to tend the garden, and the serpent came and deceived Eve, and they ate of the fruit they shouldn't have eaten from. So what happened was, is that the result of that fall, we call it the fall, the result of that was fear, shame, and blame. So let me explain. Immediately it says that they were naked, and it said that their eyes were opened, and they were ashamed of themselves. They hid themselves, and they've got fig leaves and sewed them together to cover themselves. Previously to that, they were unaware that they were naked. They were unaware of themselves. So what the fall in the garden did is focus everything about me. I, me, my. And it results in they were afraid. They lost the fear of God. They lost the love of God. They were afraid. They were focused on themselves, and they were ashamed because they were naked, and they would not take responsibility. He says, who would you do? He goes, well, it's not my fault. Oof, do we not hear that with our children? So the results of all this is that basically this is exactly what we deal with. You may say, well, you don't understand my children. I deal with something else. No, every problem is rooted in this. We don't know the love of the Father. We don't know our identity in Christ of who we really are, and we will not take responsibility for our lives. The fruit of that is that we become victims and we become orphans, either one. So it depends on, some of us have become victims. I'm a victim. You don't know what's happened to me. You don't know what people have done to me. You don't know this and this and this, and everything's always happening to me. I'm a victim. Or an orphan, nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. I've got to fend for myself. I've got to do everything. Nobody helps me. That's the fruit of the fall in the garden. Now, that is the reason we're born into sin, Paul tells us. And that's the reason that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the reason your little child, as precious as they are, and when they come out of the womb, oh, they're so cute and everything, they need to be born again. They are born in sin. They are born with these characteristics. They are going to be filled with fear. They're going to be filled with shame. They're going to be filled with, it's all about me. I, me, my. That's the world that they live in. It's a world of, it'll either be a victim or an orphan. So obviously, as we disciple them, we lead them to the Lord. But you got to make sure that we're talking to them about the right things and we understand where the root issues really are. Jesus loved us with such a love that He gave Himself to die on the cross. We've been restored to love. The love of the Father is not something you earn. It's something that you receive. It's a free gift. It is. You have to just, but you got to recognize that, oh, wow, I need the only true love. I'm not talking about feelings. I'm not talking about sexual love. I'm not talking about friendship love. I'm talking about agape love. Agape love is a sacrificial love that only God can really give, and we have to learn how to receive it. The second thing is understanding sonship or daughtership. The issue is that I am a child of God, And what that means is that my new identity is that I'm in Christ. Paul uses the terminology in Christ or in Jesus. It's a position. It's like, wow, I'm no longer a victim. I'm no longer an orphan. I am a child of God. So when we're helping to disciple our children, these are the things that you've got to address. You've got to help them understand the love of the Father. Perfect love casts out fear. Help them understand their true identity as a child of God. It breaks the power of shame that they feel like they're unworthy. The King has called them by name. You've got to help them understand that they now have the ability to respond appropriately to life situations. They're no longer having to play the blame game and blame everybody else for their problems. So all of this is extremely important. We're no longer an orphan, no longer a victim. Now, I say all of that. Remember what I've said is that this is all about discipleship. I say all of that because, parents, if you're not walking in this, you can't impart that to your children. So it's imperative that you grow in this so that you can then communicate that, not in a lecture communicative style, but in a real life, living it out relationship with God. The more that you come into relationship with God, the more that you look like Jesus, the more you act like Jesus, the more that you're allowing His presence and His love and the power of the Spirit to be in your life, the more you can transmit it to your children. Because it's not, again, a teaching, it's a lifestyle. You're living relationship with God. That's really what He wants you to know. So bottom line is, discipling is first and foremost, you have to be changed. And then it's not taught, it's caught. So it's not a teaching where you have to, okay, sit down here and I'm going to teach you these things. There's teaching. We need to teach the Word. We need to teach these things. But I'm talking about what happens is that you have to live it in such a way. Let me say it this way. You have to model being Christ-like. That's what God wants you to do. So He wants you to model it, because when you model it, your children will see it. Now, I mentioned it previously, a couple of books, and I want to mention these books again. I didn't do it in the first couple of sessions, but there are some great books on child raising. And I just encourage you, this first one I'm going to recommend is called Raising Accountable Kids by John Miller. It is an outstanding book. Another one, it's called Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. These are two of my favorites, but there's lots of them. There are a lot of good books. There's a lot of help out there for practical things that I'm not going to discuss in this parenting seminar. I'm not going to tell you how to address this or how to address this problem or how do you fix this or how do you deal with this kind of a child. No, I'm trying to give you bigger principles of understanding that it's a big picture deal. It's called discipleship. And that's really what God is wanting. He wants you to grow so that you can be more like Christ, so that then you can transmit that, not in a lecture or not in a disciplinary way, but in a real life living manner that they see. That's really what God has called us to do. Now, shifting gear, I want to keep going here. You know, the children watch everything you do. They watch everything. Have you ever watched little children? They just watch. They watch what's going on. I mean, they start mimicking you. They start following and doing what you do. And they watch everything. Do you realize that children are actually very spiritually sensitive? I don't know if it's just in their spirit or soul or whatever, but they're usually pretty sensitive stuff. They pick up fear real quick. They pick up love real quick. They pick up things. And you say, well, how do they do that? I don't know. They just do. They're probably very discerning. All of us were probably better discerning at a younger age, and we sort of lost it as we've gotten older with all the things that go on. I tell you, they pick up whether your marriage is good. They know if mommy and daddy are getting along together. They know what's going on there. They pick that up, and that insecurity that's in a family marriage or it's in the home, if there's insecurity there, they pick that up. They pick it up and they feel that insecurity. So it's amazing that really it's all by the Spirit. It's all something that God wants us to do and understand that really we are modeling all the time. And so it's like, you know, wow, you may, that's a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. It is. It's a lot of pressure. I mean, when you realize that they're watching everything you do, and it's not, and I'm not talking about being perfect. You can't be perfect. Nobody's perfect. Jesus is perfect. But the point is that you just need to recognize that, we're a living, the discipleship is not a program, but it's a lifestyle. And I'll say that over and over and over again, because it really is. The better you do, the better they do. The better your marriage does, the more secure they will be. The more that you're able to love, and you can only love if you receive His love, the greater love that they'll be able to receive too. So all of it is, again, back to you, parents, being conformed to the image of Christ. You walk in fear? They probably will too. If you walk in peace, they probably will too. If you are calm and peaceful, they probably will be also. If you worry about everything, they will too. So if you love God and follow Him, they will too, unless you're religious and it turns into a not a good situation, because salvation is a relationship, not a legalism or a keeping the rules deal. If you respect authority, they probably will respect authority. I know you get the picture. The bottom line is they're going to be like you. Now, I want to talk in specifically about some areas. Number one, how do you communicate? Communication is so important. And communication, you do realize, is not just about words. We communicate with our body language, and everything. But we are communicating all the time. And so it's so important that, again, if you want your children and their communication to be a certain way, then you have to model that communication. Many years ago, when our children were young, we watched my wife's father recorded John Wayne movies, and we watched John Wayne movies. And I recognize some of you have never even heard of John Wayne. He was an old Western star that had did a lot of movies, very macho kind of a guy. And in one of the movies, it was called The Searchers, one of his guys had gone out and had been captured by the Indians, and he came back in. He was a little bit off, and he was sort of like he didn't know where he was, and he got him a rocking chair, and John Wayne was talking to him. John Wayne's name in the movie was Ethan, and this guy's name was Old Mose, and he was talking to him, trying to get him to say something, and he said, he said, "Shut up, you old fool." And Mo said, "Kind words, Ethan, kind words." And, of course, they were not kind words. But we picked that up when the kids were little, and we began to tell it when the word and the communication were not kind, that's what we would say. "Kind words now, kind words, Ethan." And really was a point we were trying to make, because it's so important. Two, you've got to be purposeful in your communication. You've got to be careful. Not everything's not a 10. I've said that before. Everything's not a blow up. You don't have to blow up. You don't have to yell. You don't have to scream. You don't have to have explosions. No, you have to understand that communication is very, very important. The old saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me," is a lie. Words hurt. And we got to understand the power of life and death is in the tongue. And so God has given that to us to do what? Speak life to those things He wants life, and speak death to those things that He wants to see dying. But the bottom line is, you've got to understand that words are hugely, extremely important. This is a passage that I want to hit. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, and it actually talks about a husband and wife relationship. And I thought what I'm going to read there, because I want to start reading actually in verse 8. And it says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous." Can you imagine that if all the home life, we could do that? All of us have compassion for one another. All of us love as brothers. All of us be tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. Can you imagine? That's what God wants to be courteous, be kind, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. See, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, we're told in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The promise to Abraham in Genesis that he said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, so you be a blessing to the nations. God's heart is to bless. But how he blesses is that we come in agreement with his word, not legalism, but by the Spirit. Verse 10 says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So again, if we love life, remember the verse 10 there, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Again, kind words. We need to understand the power of kind words. Now, one other thing we need to really help our children understand is how to forgive. The power of forgiveness is love practically expressed. And so learning to forgive is huge. Again, you have to model it. If you have problems with forgiveness, you have a problem with anger, I want to tell you something, you need to get some help. There's personal ministry available, and there's ways to get help, but you need help because you are going to communicate what your struggles are and what problems are. You're going to communicate that to your children. So practice forgiveness. Choose to forgive quick. Choose to bless. Choose to say, we are going to forgive so-and-so. If the children are having problems and they fighting and all this kind of stuff, you know, we're going to forgive and we're going to bless. This is not what we do. Let's do this. We're going to forgive Johnny, forgive Sally, forgive whoever, forgive whatever. But parent, you model it too. You model forgiveness. Because a lot of times we're trying to, discipleship again is modeled, not just taught. So it's easy for me to say one thing, but I live a different. And what they're going to watch, they're going to see how you live. You can teach all you want to, but if you're living contrary to that, they're going to pick that up. So forgiveness is huge. Understanding the power of forgiveness is absolutely imperative. We need to be quick to forgive, and we need to model forgiveness. If you have, like I said, if you have problems in these areas, you need to get some help. We need to understand that they need to learn how to take responsibility for their lives. This is something that is difficult because, again, they start off want to blame everybody. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. Somebody else did it. It's always somebody else's fault. No, they have to learn. You got to be led by the Spirit to help them understand that actions have consequences, that they need to be held accountable for their actions. They need to have understanding that they need to learn how to be responsible even around the house. They need to clean up. They need to take responsibility for things. They need to be held accountable for that. They need to be held accountable for their room or for whatever. I'm a firm believer in that there has to be some parameters and boundaries set. They need to be enforced, not mandatory, not dictatorially, but you need to help them understand. And again, granted, it changes as they grow. You can't do a lot when they're a little bitty, but you need to be on. You need to be on that move of helping them take responsibility. They need to work. I don't mean they have to go get a job outside the home, but they need to be held accountable to do some work around the house. It's not a curse. Work is not a curse. Work is what God created us to do. So there need to be some accountability for what they do in their learning process, whatever school issue you're dealing with. They need to be held accountable with cleaning up their mess and stuff at home. They need to learn. It needs to be practiced. It also needs to be modeled by you. Whatever you do, they do. Whatever, however you act, they act. Whatever, however you forgive, they forgive. Whenever you are responsible, they'll be responsible. It works that way. It's not a lecture, and it's not a dictatorial thing. It is a clear modeling that you do, and that helps them to understand that. You don't need to rescue your children from problems. Bullying is obviously a bad problem in a bad situation that's got to be addressed. But they don't rescue kids from all the bad situations. You can't keep them from bad situations. They can learn from that. They can learn from these situations. Everything is not going to be great. The Bible says in this world you have tribulation, you're going to have tribulation. So all I'm saying is don't rescue them. Don't hover over them and try to keep them from every little problem. Don't try to fix every little issue. Remember, everything is not a 10. Again, the issue is modeling. You're wanting to see some change in life, not an instantaneous, all of a sudden, wow, everything's different. No, we're talking about, are they moving from here, or are they over here, and are they learning and growing? That's what it's not about perfection. It's about understanding the dynamics of being a disciple is an up and down process. Did you read the Bible? You read the gospel accounts of the disciples. They were not perfect. In fact, they were up and down all over the place. So it's a process. That's what God is working in us. One last thing. Let me just say this before I pray. They can learn from failures. See, we think that we don't want little Johnny to have a problem, and we don't want little Sally to have any disappointments. But the reality is that that's just part of life. You can't keep kids from having problems. You can't keep kids from experiencing discouragements and disappointments and failures and all those kinds of things. So discipleship is a learning process also. Understanding, learning from this, not failure, is understanding that, okay, what can I learn from that? You can help them. Did we learn something from this? Every opportunity is a learning opportunity, and discipleship is all about that. It's not about getting everything right. It's not about being perfect. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that we're constantly being conformed to His image. So you need to be conformed, and you need to help your children grow in many of these areas. Again, it's a full-time activity. It's not a part-time deal. It requires a lot of focus and attention. It is something that is extremely important and is valuable. But it's back to you, parent. You have to be conformed to His image. You have to allow the Word to work in your life so that you can be more like Christ. Let me pray with you. Father, we love You and bless You and thank You for Your amazing love. And we thank You, Lord, that You have the very best for all of us. I pray for these parents, and I pray, Lord, You'd help us to really look to You, knowing that, Lord, these children are Yours, and we're stewards, but You have clearly given us instructions and parameters to help them grow up, to have a relationship with You, to be like You, to bring forth Your kingdom on earth. I pray blessings upon all the parents. I pray, Lord, You'd help us to really be tuned in to You and to really model Christ-likeness to our children. I pray blessings upon all the parents, and I pray, Lord, that You would help all the parents really strengthen them with Your might in the inner man so that they can do the job that You've set before them, that they can be loving parents, and that they can raise up their children in the admonition and training and love of You. Father, we love You, we bless You, we thank You, and we are so grateful for Your amazing love. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for watching.